You have, first of all, you have staff. Some people can deal with financial issues and balance sheets and income statements, which is, you know, very, very rudimentary, mind you, but still, that's what we have to deal with here. We're going to have each staff member deal with that. And I know from again, experience, some people do a very, very good job of that. Others don't do a real good job of that. You're also very dependent upon the information that you receive, and some of that information is very good, some of it is not very good. The one thing I would tell you is that I think that this is something that could be implemented down the road if we can get some computer software, if you will, some computer information that will do some of the calculations for us and make it a fairly straightforward process for staff to input that information. The other part of it is, once you establish an amount that you can that those folks can participate in, then it takes that counselor keeping track of each time we administer a service that does require financial participation. They're going to have to keep track of what amount of that financial participation was used each time we pay a bill. And that's going to be, again, a very difficult thing. I'm not saying that difficult isn't something that we shouldn't do, but I do think that that's a very realistic assessment. I think that, again, at some point, we may want to do some client information, financial information types of systems work in our agency. And I do believe that would be a good time to try to implement this sort of thing, because the machine can keep track of that information for you. But at this point, it really does become real difficult for them to really keep a handle on it.
Well, the other thing is, if it doesn't save money, I guess my thought was collecting the data someday, we use it to save money. Well, if it doesn't save money, then that argument's out, and then you're just looking at an ownership, more what you're thinking is behind participation rate to begin with. So.
Well, I appreciate all of those comments, and I also relate to them. You know, having once in my distant past administered the orientation center, there were some things at that time that we did ask for participation in. We asked for a set amount for materials toward each student's shop project, and we also asked that students pay telephone bills. Both of those things sound simple when you just say them. When you actually administer them with all the, you know, you were generous about, sometimes the information you get is good and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it goes beyond that. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it isn't. And, you know, we can be frank and realistic here. That's what happens. And you have to decide, I guess we have to decide, whether we expect the Commission for the Blind to engage in that kind of activity in an ongoing basis. My tendency is to say no. I don't know. I mean, this is it's an important decision we need to make, but I think we need to give some direction. You know, I appreciate the time and effort that staff has put into this, not only in creating potential instruments, but also in giving feedback as to what people think when they've been working out in the field with folks, and what the responses are and how people feel and all of those things. That stuff is key to our decision making. It's not going to save money, and we don't want to do anything that moves us toward anybody thinking that we're moving toward order of selection or, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I think we need to help give people direction before they end up you know, just continuing to do a whole lot more work on a thing that is time-consuming, no matter how you look at it.
Barbara?
Yes.
I just want to say, it's true that a lot of research and work went into this, but regardless of how the commissioners decide, I don't feel that the work has been wasted. You know, I really feel like we've learned a lot in the process of gathering this information. And to be honest with you, I've moved on both sides of the issue, you know, depending upon my where I was in my processing. And I do feel that what we have put together is something that we've gained, and we're not and we can always look back on that. So I just want you to know that however the commission decides, you know, the work certainly hasn't been wasted, and I think I speak for other staff that way.
Pearl, did you say one time that disability insurance company, you know, a person who's disabled, their disability insurance, that the disability insurance company paid the commission something for those services, and was that at all related to the participation?
Yes and no. We had one individual whose insurance company did pay for training at the rehab center. They had been paying for rehabilitation, kind of medical rehab at Madonna, and then Madonna's team determined that with the person that they would benefit from coming here, and so they did pay us for a couple of months of training. It really is not the same as the individual participation, and it's not very common that that's the case, that they do pay. Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
A couple of observations that I have is that I think a lot of what I hear the board saying are things that we've kind of in the processing, there aren't any real big disagreements. There's pros and cons, there's reasons to go with it and not, and so I don't dispute any of the comments people make. I just thought I'd say that I'm leaning toward, when you balance the amount of work staff have, which is already too much, and what we would get for it, that is in terms of results and funding, so we don't just look at is it worth it based on funding, but the results for the people's time, is it well spent? And when I look at what we really would probably get at this point from such a project, I wouldn't be in favor of it, but I do think if we would go toward being really aggressive about comparable benefits, I think that there are a lot of things that this commission pays for people just because the person needs it, and we want to jump in there and make it happen for the person. There's a requirement in the law that you can't use comparable benefits if they're not timely. So if it's going to take 2.5 years to get something paid from somebody, you don't have to go that route. You know, the agency can go ahead and pay for it. But I do think over time we've kind of gotten to where we just cover a lot of stuff because we're so committed to getting the person the job or the training. And so I would like to see us move more in the direction of making sure our staff are very well trained in comparable benefits so they really can work with the individuals to make sure they're getting what they need, you know, from other sources, so that we're not providing something that really should be provided by some other source. And to me, that's just the way I'm leaning after all of the different work and input on it.
So that's something that can be done on a case by basis, kind of the dictate can go out to the staff that, you know, talk to your people, see what they have available. And
yes, that's kind of what I'm saying, but I'm also saying we would train this consumer comparable benefit survey that we got from New Mexico just recently.
Mm-hmm.
That provides a framework for helping the rehab counselor and the client to go through exactly what all could be available.
Yes, yeah.
And in fact, just as a matter of looking at this, it occurred to one of us that, you know, actually, I think it was Bob, it was either Bob or Carlos, but saying, you know, people who are a member of an American Indian tribe, if they're registered with the tribal council, funds from that will pay for tuition or books, or, you know, there's other stuff that we, I'm sure, have never checked into for people. And so that's what I'm saying. Let's make sure what if there's other sources that could be paying for whatever, that they're paying for them, and that our funds are going for rehab in a more narrow and not trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah, that actually makes sense to me. I also think that there could be something to be said for the financial needs on the maintenance situation. I'm not 100% convinced on that, but I think that one, not only does it make more sense in some ways, but it seems like it would be less difficult, and there would be fewer people who would be actually needing that, and it wouldn't be an all across the board kind of a thing. Now, maybe I just haven't thought of all the nightmares involved in that one like I have on the other one. But what do we want to do, Commission Board members, as far as this issue is concerned? Do we want to give a direction? I think that's what we're supposed to do.
Madam Chairman, I'd like the idea Pearl has is just have the counselors research with the client where other sources of income can come from. Like, I know Native Americans, they get all their college tuition, books, everything paid for by the tribe, and if we have a blind Native American, or maybe Helen, on an informal basis, because if it creates a lot of paperwork, I'm not for that.
Well, though, if there does come a time when money is tight and buying, people adapt to technology, there has to be decisions made on who does not get it. I guess it'd be
Mrs.
I think that time is already here.
Yeah. Mrs. Chair?
Yeah.
Well, then that's, you know.
Yes.
Once again, financial participation cannot be used because we don't have enough money.
Yeah.
Just a point of
reference. Well, it doesn't make much sense logically, but the law prohibits implementing this based on short funds.
We have reviewed that, and that is the case. Every sense it makes, that's the way it is.
So I guess that'd be the way you'd have to take the launch. You'd have to set it in place. I mean, that's your ultimate goal, to allow you to make choices on an equitable basis. But this has to be in place before the governor says 10% across the board cut. You can't go to this to...
Well, the two things that we've established are that we can't do it in order to save money, and that it doesn't save money anyway. So
it's a non-issue because the law prohibits us.
So that part of it is, we just need to, however much our minds may have trouble getting around that, that's the way
it is.
It is.
But I just like the voluntary aspect of just talk to the clients and ask them to volunteer.
What I'm hearing, I think, is that we would say that the mandatory financial participation survey is not something that we want the commission to implement. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not being done for practical dollars and cents and just for philosophical, then I think it's too much work to engage in just for the philosophical argument, and the philosophical participation ownership, that can be dealt with in different ways through just the individual case management.
The other thing that I think we're saying is that we would like for there to be emphasis on the comparable benefits, not only just say to counselors, you know, make sure this is done, but give them some offer training in what's out there, you know, have somebody on the pulse of that kind of thing, so that that part of it can be done. I haven't heard any real direction out of us on the financial needs test for maintenance. Are we making a decision about that third thing today, or are we dropping it off?
If it's going to be more hassle than save money, then what's the point?
Well, see, I just figured that that was a given, that, like, on my job, if I know in the past they used a visual tech machine, and it went kaput, SVI told me, you know, that's your responsible to maintain it. And so I thought that's what the agency was already doing.
When you said maintenance, Barbara, were you talking about maintaining machines?
No.
Oh, okay. What do you mean by maintenance? Maintenance of equipment or maintenance of what?
No, the kind of thing that Carlos was talking about, where you might have someone who is in the midst of their getting their vocational goal met, and there is something that comes up, like there's an economic problem that happens where the next month's rent is not available from anywhere. If they do something other than seek payment of that from somewhere, then they will not be able to continue with their goal if they're in school or if they're on a job or, you know, that type of thing. Or where a person might be in the midst of their vocational goal and, you know, there is something that happens concerning if they have kids or whatever and they need child care for a little while. Sometimes it isn't anything major, but if there isn't something in place to do some of that, I think people are maybe kind of guessing, okay, well, you know, can we justify this? Can we not? Do we need a policy? I think that's the kind of thing that we're talking about.
If we're talking about that, there's so many other agencies that provide those services, you know, like human services, and so that would be redundant for us to provide that service to them.
You know, aren't those kinds of expenses done on a case-by-case basis anyway, so the whole picture is going to be looked at anyway? And
If I may,
sure.
I think you're right. You know, there are other sources for support. You know, child care is another type of issue that might interfere with a person's ability to pursue vocational goals. You know, but very often there are other sources that will provide, that will pay for that service. I guess the main thing is whether or not the need is such that it prevents a person from reaching their vocational goal. And the Rehab Act pretty much gives us the authority to pay for whatever is needed, you know, so long as we take into account comparable benefits, you know. So we don't typically provide child care expenses, coverage for that, or maintenance or some other things, but we could if it amounts to a barrier that would prohibit that person from reaching their goal.
Yeah, and so in other words, what you're saying is that really we are possibly taking care of the third issue by having instituted the second one, the comparable benefits thing.
Yeah. You know, and actually that's kind of written into the academic support memo too, you know, when it, in that part it talks about the Pell Grant. You know, because very often, you know, Pell Grants are a federal grant for undergraduate students who fall below a certain financial ability. And people who qualify for a Pell Grant often do have problems with some of these other expenses, you know, and if they don't have some other source of recovering that, we will. We will step in and we will provide that assistance.
Okay, so, you know, the folks here, I think, are the ones who would be most likely to have anything to do with administering this. Has what we have suggested, does that seem doable, reasonable?
I have a comment, and maybe it's my fault because I haven't made enough research, but My concern is if, yes, we use comparable benefits, that's no question about it, but there are some clients, very few, very rare cases in which maybe that client is applying for Social Security benefits, which is a comparable benefit, but that person is not getting the money yet, so that person needs some assistance in which we may or may not provide according to what the case is. But let's assume that we will. Now, how do we justify that we keep a maintenance check to this client and not to some others? And that's why I think we need a financial needs test, not participation necessarily, which is going to be only very rare cases. And I started by apologizing because I'm under the impression that we cannot give to somebody a maintenance and negate to somebody else when we don't have a policy of financial needs test, but maybe I'm wrong. I, that's why I'm apologizing. That's my only concern so far.
And my thinking there is that, from my discussion with Vicki, is that whatever policy we adopt regarding our support, that policy needs to recognize exceptions. So you're not going to have a hard and fast type of procedure that's going to apply in all situations. We need to anticipate that there may be times when we are going to do something a bit different depending upon the person's peculiar circumstances.
And in fact, that's what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, maybe we do it a little too freely. I'm not sure if I've heard, I know Barbara, you asked us if what you're suggesting would work, and I'm not sure if I've heard what your suggestion is that's different from what we do. And so if I miss something, I'm sorry. but I, as far as what we do now, is it working? I would say, for the most part, yes, we are meeting people's needs and doing things on a very individualized basis and working with the individual. If anything, however, we definitely are maxing out our budget and need to find ways to be more cost efficient on a lot of things, and so how we get there is another question. But whether this is the piece that's throwing us over the edge, I don't know.
Well, I think what Carlos said is if it comes to crunch and if they're, you just can't make ad hoc decisions, it has to be a policy. And if people say, I want this benefit, and the agency says no, and you don't have a policy, and, Joe got it, and then that would be a reason that there would need to be. Then of course, if there had to be a policy, you'd want it needs-based. But if it didn't have to be, then if it could be done on a case-by-case basis, then these kinds of judgments are going to be made as part of that process. So maybe we need, Carlos, do you think that issue needs to be researched to see if...
I would say so.
For an administrative law issue, if we do need a policy in that, otherwise we're at the mercy of the guy that didn't get it versus the guy who's citing the person who did. We need a policy to back up a rationale for it.
Well, I think that one policy that is there is, what Pearl had just mentioned, the thing about, things are done on a case-by-case basis. And so I don't ever have a whole lot of a problem. Again, I go back to my days in administering the center. I mean, people certainly came to me, and they were right next to each other and saw what happened with one and what happened with another. And, my response, as long as, my conscience was clear and I knew why I was doing what I was doing, was that no two people are exactly alike, and if they were, one of them's unnecessary. And, we will move along based on that. You have appeal processes if you want them. Otherwise, if you think of fair as equal as identical, you're going to run into problems all through your life. You might as well, start now to to deal with those kinds of things. I mean, there really are, I think, ways of helping people, and I'm not trying to be cavalier or anything, but I do think that the comparison thing is always, I mean, whether it's, you know, kids with their parents or clients with an agency or whatever, there are some people who I think almost were maybe born to complain or something, and, you know, that's their meat in life or whatever. And, you know, I think that we need to, as long as we're doing what we believe to be right and the best for everybody that who's being served, then I just, there isn't any one thing that's going to cover absolutely everybody.
And maybe you just wait to, I mean, we leave things as is. If someone, if we ever get into a situation where somebody challenges and you, I mean, that's, when you lose, then obviously the policy, it's not going to.
Well, and you asked what the difference was. The difference, I think, you know, may be that what we're saying is you don't need to work anymore on an instrument for financial participation, that the direction that we're going is, and you're already going in that way, which makes things a lot simpler, I guess, the direction is toward the comparable benefits, and that would be the emphasis, because up to this point, we were kind of in limbo about, are we going to do financial participation or not? And I think that that's the difference. We're saying
it's okay,
no.
Dorothy.
So do we need a motion?
It can be on the floor.
If we need a motion, I'll make a motion that financial participation be set aside for now, and that and that's it.
I second it.
Okay, is there discussion?
Yeah, it can be on the floor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yes.
Say, another point I just want to make, I appreciate the motion and the decision. So we have some direction and we'll just table this. We will certainly keep the information and we can always revisit whenever we need to. But as I've been looking at policies, which we'll talk about later, Voc Rehab has in one rule financial participation and cost containment strategies or procedures. And as we look at rule, I think there's some things that we can do that are more specific about cost containment that don't necessitate the financial needs or participation. So definitely that's something that we're looking at and trying to make some decisions about, or providing information, will be providing information to you about some of what we're finding in that area. I just thought I'd mention that.
And I don't know if we need a motion to, you know, to deal with the making sure that there's training, or if we just want to take that on consensus since it's already happening. But that certainly is something that we want the commission to do.
That would be very important.
Okay. Was there anything else on that particular issue?
I don't believe so.
Not, I think we're ready to move on with the agenda. The next item is the report from the chairman, and you know, as usual, I will try to be brief. I think that for the most part, we do stay in touch between meetings, and we can try to keep ourselves informed as to what we're doing. one of the things that we dealt with in our June meeting, which sometimes the chairman's report ends up being sort of a catch-all for things you know that we need to do or whatever. When Pearl and I went over the evaluation, one of the things that we talked about was a possible change in the evaluation rating scale. You know, the one that we had this year where it talked about fully met or, you know, that kind of thing, maybe somewhat more vague in some ways than Having something a little bit more straightforward that, you know, that has a an actual scale attached to it. And she had talked about, in fact, a form that was available. I'm trying to find the actual things that were in that. I had them a moment ago, of course. The way it goes.
Anybody want more pizza?
Yeah, there
is more pizza, there's more breadsticks.
Where's it at?
The table about halfway between here and then. I think Fritz will bring it if you let him know what you like.
Fritz, I'd take another piece of pizza, please.
Okay.
It's a good thing we have Fritz here.
And Fritz, I'll have another breadstick. While you're over there.
You come to our house.
Well, I'm going to come back to that in a minute when I find it. In the meantime,
the scale was, one thing was from one was the lowest, five was
the highest, and it went from unsatisfactory to satisfactory, or to, you know,
exceed,
you know, but it was not that same.
And there were five instead of four, and the as you got to a higher, so if you were better than satisfactory but not quite outstanding, it was four plus instead of, one challenge we talked about with the one being the highest is that it was, if it was between a one and a two, do you call it 1.5? Anyway, it was just kind of confusing the way this one was. So that was one of the pieces about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it really matters that we have the exact words, but it did have five rates, which helped, I thought.
Yeah, and it did seem like it may have been a little more straightforward to me, too. And so, you know, what we can do is to, you know, throw that out for what people, oh, I just now found it. One is unacceptable, two is needs improvement, three is satisfactory, four is above average, and five is outstanding. So, I think that the procedure, if we decide to change that, would be just to, for me to recontact Karen Billings and say we decided to do this a little differently, and they'll say, well, fine, and that's what we'll do. Excuse me. So, if you want to quickly deal with that, or if you have discussion, we can do whatever you want to do. I think it seems
so. We're going to five versus four.
That's pretty simple.
That's what I had to deal with for many years, so I like that.
Mm-hmm. And the order was reversed.
Yeah.
Where one is being the five.
The better you are, the more points you get.
Right.
That's right.
Sort of makes numeric sense or whatever.
I'll make a motion to that.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Is there further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, and the other thing that we talked about was we did not have any language in there that talked about whether or not the director agreed with what we decided on. And on the evaluation that went in this year, we made a quick decision, and Pearl wrote onto the evaluation, "I have met with and discussed the contents of this evaluation with the board chairman. I agree with its contents." And so we did use that language this year. Now, if she hadn't agreed, we probably would have. She would have written, "I do not agree with this." But we really ought to have something of that kind, I think, on the form, rather than just the signatures acknowledging that we have gone over it. So I would also entertain a motion that we have that kind of language added to the executive director evaluation form.
So moved.
Madam Chairman, I have a question first.
Okay, well, right now we have a, motion. If we get a second, we can have discussion and we'll all be procedurally correct. So is anybody willing to second the motion in order to do that, or?
What was the motion?
That we incorporate language about agreement or lack thereof into the evaluation form itself on the part of the executive director.
The director agreed to it.
Yeah, has read it and agrees, or has read it and disagrees.
Or a place for comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're better off with a place.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Thank you. Now we can have all this discussion.
I think we're probably better off with a comment section.
Yeah, I think, you know, that she's seen it, that she's, you've gone over with her, and then comments. And that way.
But if she's signing below that she agrees with it.
No, not agree, just that she's seen it or received it.
Oh, that's all I should say. Because if she disagreed, I mean, we'd have to do something about that.
No, we'd have to terminate her immediately.
Not necessarily, I mean.
I think the simplest thing to do, and what I've seen most often, you know, is to have an acknowledgement that you have received it, that you reviewed it. And then if there is any concern by either, you know, either side or whatever, there's a place there for comments.
Eliminate that section so that I review this with the board chairman and agree to it, you know, to say I reviewed it.
Yeah.
I was on the ones that are accepted for people that are under the contract, what the person signs is I have received this. Mm-hmm. You know, that my signature says I've received it. It does not say what I think about it. Mm-hmm. I can't, what's the wording on that, Bill? Can you?
Well, again, it's a receipt of the document. And then there are, generally, there's a space allowed for comments, you know, again, whether or not you agree or disagree. But the issue really boils down to whether or not they received it first. Then they have to deal with whether or not.
That's probably irrelevant in terms of my position as being appointed by the board. But I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, and it's good to know that kind of thing because we're kind of learning as we go, and so.
So we could probably re-specify your motion. It was kind of, it wasn't specific, was it? You just
should we amend the motion? Is that?
Or make a new motion? Or?
Amend the motion.
Sure.
I make a motion that we amend the motion to say that the director has received the review and then provide a place for comments.
And a signature.
The signature places are already there.
Okay.
We did know to do that.
That's good. Just want to clarify.
That's a good thing to do.
If she disagree, what difference would it make?
Well, that's a friendly amendment. So we don't have two motions on the floor. Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. So
we got one on the floor.
At this point, so if we vote this motion up, what it will mean that we're saying is that we will have a place that says that the director has received the evaluation, and then we would provide a place for comments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there further discussion? Mm-hmm. That isn't against any laws or anything, is it?
No, always a little leery.
Things that make sense quite often aren't lawful.
That's right. No, that's what I was saying. That's what I've seen on most of the evaluations.
Maybe what we did wasn't lawful. I don't know, but it's already been.
Yeah.
So, okay. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention was that we did all receive the invitation to go to the awards ceremony that was held for employers who have employed blind people in the last year, and that was on the 6th of June, and I did go to that and represented the commission board there. It was really an interesting event, and there was interaction not only before the awards were actually presented, but also afterward. There was interaction about people who had jobs, and then employers were there and talked about how to work together to learn about things that are going on and to be more aware of the variety of things that blind folks are doing. And I think it also gave them a chance to not feel like the only one out there, you know, who was maybe taking what they considered to be a chance, and they were seeing that other employers were doing that and getting ideas not only from blind folks who are working, but also from each other. And I think it was a very positive thing. I'm glad that that kind of thing happens, and I'm glad that we are invited to participate in things like that when they do happen. I also attended part of the symposium that was held here in June, the 21st through the 23rd, I believe it was. And again, that was a time where there were interactions from agencies around the region, and there was a lot of discussion about the nuts and bolts of it all, and also about partnerships and participation on the part of consumer organizations and the kinds of innovative things that can be done within various partnership activities. Again, I think that was a good thing. I think it was well received by the people who attended, and I think that there will be some effects of it, not only in this region, but nationwide, about that kind of activity and what can be gained from it. So, you know, I really think that there are a lot of really good things going on here, and I always want to make sure that we pay attention to them and also that we acknowledge them. Another thing that's been happening in the last while is the writing of a grant, which would, if we can get that grant, would make it possible for there to be a lot more help for people in technology and other kinds of things. And I think that one of the things that we need to do as a commission board is to make sure that when things like that happen, that we let people know that we do appreciate the work that is done. That kind of thing takes a lot of work. I hope that you guys read it, and you know, it was certainly good to get the summary as well. But those kinds of things are going to, I think, make the biggest difference in whether or not we can continue to provide the kinds of services that we do at the level that we do. We've been very fortunate to have people who are excellent grant writers, like Bob Deaton, and folks who will go out and pound the pavement for ideas, like Carlos does, and folks who are willing to put in the time to look at what kinds of technology are out there and how we can implement them here, like Jonathan and Nancy Kaufman and Jan and all the people who work on the technology end of things here now do. It's a mammoth kind of a thing, and I thought that it would make sense for us to have a letter of appreciation to the staff so that people know that we are aware of the fact that there is a lot of work that goes into that. And I've written the letter, and you can tell me if you want us to send it out or if you don't or whatever. It says, I am writing on behalf of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners to express our appreciation of the time and effort put forth by staff in submitting an application for a grant under the Nebraska Technology Works Project. We are very interested in innovative ways of improving the Commission's effectiveness in reducing the 70% unemployment rate in our state, and understand that this grant will not only make it possible for blind Nebraskans to obtain high quality employment, but also it will allow for delivery of assistive technology services to the blind statewide. In addition, the opportunity for commission staff to work with employers and information technology vendors and providers, which this grant affords, will create a broader base of those who both know about and promote the use of assistive technology for the blind. Thank you for your creative involvement in making life better for the blind. And then I signed it as chairman. And the letter is written to...